No, you didn't.
Yeah.
How'd you deal with that?
With difficulty. Disney was crazy. Like, that's the one.
When it's done, it's an amazing experience.
Oh my gosh, there's like 800,000 views. And then now we get to like 16 million views.
If you don't take risks like that, you're never going to succeed.
Oh, he's going to be the saviour of snow windows.
Welcome to this episode of the Getting Shit Done podcast with myself, Will Pringle, and my co-host, Harry Tarbuck. Today we have a very special episode. We've got Kerry and Tom Baker from Snow Windows, with Tom actually doing some live art that you'll get to see later in the background. We're also joined with Ted the dog, who
yeah,
might be joining
us. Yeah, he
may
well interrupt.
So, Kerry, Tom, welcome.
Thank you.
Tom, just before you get to spraying, tell us then, how did you come up with this idea?
Purely by accident. It was just a bit of Christmas fun one year, actually. So, a can of snow spray, a couple of beers, and, yeah, just started spraying on a window. Kerry had gone to bed. I was just in the kitchen by myself and completely covered the window. And then I thought, shall I draw a picture in it? And it started to look quite good. And then, Kerry came down in the morning and was quite astonished at what I had created.
Yeah, I was expecting the little dots. I wasn't expecting anything, if I'm honest.
Check this out, it's really good.
We're all really looking forward to it. Well, it looks good now, and I'm looking forward to seeing the finished results. So we'll let you get on and cut in whenever you like.
Kerry, when did you think it was kind of could become more than... You know, what was that early days like?
I guess really it sort of started when he did that window in our kitchen and then people were coming around. I was like, oh my God, look what Tom's done. And then the following Christmas, everyone would come round and say, what's Tom done this year? And then it sort of, I hate to say it and I always do it, snowballed, whereby people were like, oh, my sister owns a florist. Do you think he could do a scene for her business? And then I said to Tom, why don't we start it as a business? And he didn't believe me that anyone would pay any money for what he did. So he actually did say to me, if we can get money for it, you can keep it. He doesn't
Not
let
anymore.
Me do that now. So I basically went out on a social media site. It was Facebook. And I posted a picture of one of Tom's creations in like one of those local community pages and said, look, my other half does this. Would anyone be interested? And this is like way back when, before mobile phones had Facebook installed on it. So I went and watched a movie with my mum, went back to my laptop to see whether anyone had responded. And there was over 800 comments from people saying, I want that. So we kind of knew that there was an opportunity for a business at that point. Then we emigrated to Australia, really, really long story. Spent 2 years out there and then came back here and started it properly as a business.
And when you posted that and you thought about, okay, we could set this up as a business, was there another business doing it at the time?
No.
No one to
nope.
copy or learn off? So
nope.
you sort of came up with the concept.
Yep.
How was it taking a sort of brand new concept to market?
Do you know... I don't think we really overthought it that much. We did look and see whether anyone else was doing it, and they weren't. So we didn't panic. It was one of those businesses whereby if it was going to work, it was going to work, and if it wasn't, it wasn't. So
it was really organic, though. I don't think we really thought... This is going to be a business.
No,
like, immediately.
Well, you didn't.
Like,
I did, but...
like, people were offering us money, but from the artist's point of view, I thought it was quite crap. So like, I didn't think it was amazing. You know, I thought, oh, this is fun. Like, I can decorate my windows at Christmas, and then someone goes, oh, I'll give you money to do that. But it's, you know, it just evolved year by year. I got better and... better customers.
I don't know. Like the first year when we moved back from Australia, in February. So obviously no one's thinking about Christmas at that point. Well, that we realised, like now we've been in the industry longer, we've understood that like big businesses are thinking about it in February. So Tom just did some landscaping work And then it got to like September, October, and I was like, right, okay, I'm going to post some stuff like we'd done previous and see what happens. And I think it must have been within the first couple of weeks, Tom was still landscaping during the day, like the Daily Mail rang me. And Tom would come home from landscape and he's like, and our kids were little, so we've got a little boy and a little girl. And he was like, all right, babe, how was your day? I was like, yeah, the Daily Mail rang today. He's like, oh, shut up. And then we got the Empire State Building inquiring. That side of it, I guess I can honestly say our business grew faster than we could cope with, because we hadn't gone through, you know, working. We did work for local businesses, but all of a sudden we had like the Daily Mail and Empire State Building, and like, yeah, we hadn't worked 10 years to sort of get that reputation. And I think, was it the... No, it wasn't the first year. It was the second year when Kirsty Allsop and her company, yeah, that do Kirsty's Handmade Christmas, that same year we entered a Chris Moyles show competition. He did a competition whereby if you had a business, him and his sidekick, Dominic Byrne, would do an advert for you. So, and the whole concept behind it was they were trying to raise money for their charity, Global Make Some Noise. So I said, we don't have any money. I mean, I can donate £50, but we could also decorate one of the charity's windows that, sure, you're, yeah, raising money for. We were the last advert they did, and that totally blew up for us. It was brilliant. So
that's such a like key moment for you then.
Yeah, that was one of the key moments, actually, because obviously Tom and I are at an age where we used to listen to Chris Moyles growing up. So he was like up there as someone we grew up listening to. And then to meet him in person, that was a bit surreal, I would say. Poor Tom, though.
You actually said a year before. He got his new radio show the year that we moved back to England, and Kerry up every morning listened to Chris Moyles' show, and she said Chris Moyles is going to be
the saviour of snow windows, because they say he's the saviour of radio, don't they?
It was really bizarre. And then, yeah, that following year, and then he gets us in the studio, and then I'm going to do his house, and yes,
like amazing. Awesome. And then, kind of, how are things different now? Then, obviously that being kind of the early stages and things, what's different between then and now then?
I guess when we first started, all those moments felt very, very surreal. Whereas now, not that we're used to them, but we've experienced it before. Yeah. So yeah, less surreal moments. I guess we have to work harder to feel like we're making a success.
Sure.
Of our business.
How long did it take to make a success of the business, like actually be able to sort of quit full-time jobs and go all in?
I was about
in?
To say we're still trying, but I would say a couple of years, wasn't it, babe?
It was a couple of years ago I stopped doing other work. I think the funny thing is when you look back and you've never succeeded and every single year I thought we need to be... we're not where we need to be, kind of thing. But if I look back to where we were, like when we started, you know, it's a million miles away. So it's, but you're always changing, like your attitude towards your business. You know? Yeah, it just evolves constantly.
Yeah, and I guess it must have been after year two we realised that there's not enough Tom to go round.
What year are we on now?
10 wow. Years. Okay. Yeah. So, and the inquiry started coming through and there was only Tom. So that was a little bit of a, what can we do about this? And throughout that summer, we were like, oh, we could do transfers whereby people could stick Tom's artwork on their window, like a window cling. So we started designing that. One of the hurdles we had was, printers don't print white ink.
No.
It's not a norm. And I was ringing like London print companies, all like these big top print companies. And they would say, no, we don't have white ink. We don't work with white ink. I mean, I'm going back 8 years ago now. And a friend of mine came around. She was like, oh, my friend owns a print company. I'm like, all due respect. I've rang everywhere trying to find someone. And lo and behold, he did have a printer that could print white ink. And we worked with him. We're quite environmental conscious, so we wanted to make something that was reusable.
Okay.
And recyclable.
Yeah.
Being a young family, we were like, oh, we've got to make the world a nicer place for our kids. So we use what is called... Oh, God, babe, what is it called, that material?
Nano.
Nanotechnology cling. So it's like a vinyl, but you wet your window and it sticks to your window and then you just peel it off and put a sheet back on once you're done with it. So that was really good. We did that year three, and then year four we sort of thought they were great, but they weren't the same effect as Tom actually spraying snow spray on the window. So we created our stencils. That was a real pinch me moment.
Okay.
So Tom came back from the printers because they made the stencils for us, and we blacked out our windows. And he sprayed it on the windows and he literally peeled back these stencils. And that was goosebumps moment. I was like, these are genius.
And they work well?
They work amazingly well. Yeah.
And it's pretty like user-friendly for someone that buys it?
Absolutely. Totally user-friendly. We've got a friend who is not very artistic at all. So we decided to trial it on her and our kids. Because at the time, I think our kids were sort of 8 and 10.
Okay. Yeah.
So we were like, if they can do it, most grown adults are going to be able to do it. And you literally just stick your stencils to the window, spray the snow spray, peel it back, and you've got a little scene at the bottom of your window. Those are recyclable and reusable as well.
And do you feel that when you release those, that that just found another area of the market that you weren't able to get to? Or did that at any point, did you start sort of losing clients to the stencils that you were making?
Well, we kind of did that with that in mind.
Okay.
So... obviously, as Tom got popular, the windows that he was asked to do were a lot bigger and slightly more high profile. And his daily rate went up.
Yeah.
So then we were sort of outpricing a lot of people that were around in the beginning. So we thought, how can we still supply them with a result that they want without the cost of Tom?
Yeah.
So that's where the stencils came in, really, because...
which makes good sense.
Yeah, yeah, and they've done amazingly well and continue to do amazingly well, really. So, yeah, we're very pleased with those still to this day.
Amazing. In terms of, obviously, you mentioned kind of outpricing to, you know, some of the other customers that you had beforehand. Can you tell us a little bit more about the higher profile clients that you work with, like Disney and so on?
Yes, but I must say, our first two paying clients still pay today what they paid 10 years ago.
Fair play.
Tom won't increase their price. He was like, you two are the first two clients that we had that felt that my art was of value. So...
they get the loyalty discount.
Yeah. It's a huge discount. Because one of them owns a Huff House. Have you ever heard of a Huff House?
No.
They're all glass.
Right, okay.
So basically, I think it's a German company and they like literally put the framework in and then they fill it with glass. So every part of it is glass. So they've got fairly big windows. High profile clients that we've worked with, we work with Jamie Oliver, Chris Moyles. Obviously, we've mentioned Chris. He's awesome. Really, really supportive of what we do. Probably shouldn't say this in case he watches it, but someone called me and he had the most awesome name and my PA was sat opposite me and I was like, Joss, that's a really nice name. Like, where does that come from? And she's like looking at me as I'm writing it down, Joss Butler.
And
he was the England cricket captain. And I'm like, oh, that's a really nice name. I had no idea who he was. But yeah, we worked with him and then...
I love them. One year, Jimmy Carr wrote to us. Like, so it was Jimmy Carr, and he wrote, I'm interested in getting one of your things on my window. What did he end the email with? It's not wanting something is as good as owning it, or something.
It made no sense, did it?
Yeah, but it was just like, all right, okay.
And he started it with, it's Jimmy Carr, the man from the telly.
Yeah.
The funny man from the telly, I think he said.
Someone who knew him, and yeah. He just got our details and, I don't know, never heard from him again.
All right, let me think of the... So one year our stencils were ordered by Mike Tindall.
Wow.
So that was yeah, cool. And we had a fulfillment company at the time, and I still to this day cross check every order that is made. So we go into the thousands of orders, but I have to see what they've ordered and who they are and just make sure that sure. I think that's a really hard thing about being a business owner. There's still an element of it's your baby. I have to monitor this. I have to make sure that this is done correctly. Anyway, and I'd seen the name and I thought there can't be two. So I put a little post-it note in there and said, well, you know, thank you so much for ordering, and sent his parcel out. And then the following year I wrote to him and said, would you like us to come and do your windows? And he was like, yep, love it. So, yeah, we've done royalties windows. Disney was crazy. Like that's the one. If you're sort of starting a business, if you're associated with someone like Disney, that was brilliant. But
tell us a bit about the work you did with Disney, if you can.
I don't know if I can actually, but can we? Are we allowed to now?
It's on the internet.
Yeah, it was all done on this window.
It was done up here. Amazing how quickly you're doing it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so Disney was crazy because it started as something that was a concept. Okay, we'd like the Magic Castle in the shot. We'd like Tom to create that, and they had an awful lot of specifics that they needed done. Yep. And obviously, being Disney, all the scale had to be 100% correct and in the right places. Yeah. And
I had sketched out what I was going to do, and they were like the turrets on the castle. It wasn't right. Like one was too.
Put their logo.
Like, oh, that's got to be spot on. I was like, okay.
But that's the thing with a lot of the, you know, a lot of the Disney products as well. It's very easily recognizable without it having the word Disney over the top, so you can understand where they come from.
Oh, completely. Yeah. But the best part about Disney was, so Tom did it, and then they wrote again saying, we'd like to get one of our animators to animate Donald Duck into the video of Tom creating the snow spray. So they did. They got an animator to animate Donald Duck, saying, oh, there's no presents under the tree. Like sort of going like that, and then Tom's hand comes in and he adds the presents, and then Donald's all happy.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so that was super cool.
Well, we found out it was going to be animated as well. That was just, and that, who was it? Like, it was an animator from Lilo and Stitch. Or
yeah.
So it was like...
And Mulan, he'd done loads of really cool stuff. So yeah, from an artistic perspective, that was super cool. Who else have I not mentioned anyone? Babe, have I not mentioned? Kirsty Allsop. She's wonderful. She asked us to go on her handmade Christmas show, and she said she didn't know whether they were going to have budget to make more than one episode. So I'm going back sort of 8 years now. And she said during the meeting, she went, I don't care how many we get, but I need that snowman. And she got some. So yeah, we do her house sometimes.
Harvey Nichols was interesting. That was through like an ad agency, and so they had the window in Harvey Nichols, and everyone's got to go the same night to fit out. Everyone who's rented a window in Harvey Nichols, everyone's in there. The shop's shut. It's mayhem. Everyone's bringing in all of their stuff. Like, I was like, I just had a can of snow spray and some tools, and everyone else has just got trucks of stuff that they're going to put in to make their amazing window displays. And yeah, so I had to get in there for like central London for like 11 o'clock at night, and then I think I left. I was working with this like, actually this lighting crew, they were lighting some of the window, and but I had to be there in case they brushed the window while they were putting their bit in. So I didn't leave till like 6:30, 7 in the morning.
Long night.
I was just lying on the, like, in the perfume bag, Harvey Nichols, like waiting for them to finish.
That was a weird one as well, wasn't it? Because you had like 60 centimetres of space.
Oh, yeah, it was really tight space. And
so the window, and then there was a wall here. Yeah, so he couldn't even step back. So, you know, like an artist will create and then step back and look at the work.
You can't see it.
Do that. Physically.
And it was, it wasn't the best conditions, but it was like the best job I'd ever had. So I was just wanted it to be perfect. So.
I guess one of the sort of struggles that you'll come across is it's quite seasonal what you do.
Yes.
Maybe getting less so as you grow the business.
Yeah.
But deadlines, working the two of you, trying to keep up because you haven't hired loads of people around you.
Nope.
How do you deal with that?
With difficulty. it's sort of swings and roundabouts, really. When the kids were little, it was great because there was only really 6 or 7 weeks of the year where we weren't available 24/7. Mm. Now they're used to it. They know. Like, they get sat down by dad, who says, right, your mum's going to be a bit busy and dad's not going to be here, so you need to pull your weight around the house. We get the normal scrunched up faces because they don't want to help around the house. But, yeah, I guess it's just normal life for us, really. It is lovely in the sense that we are around when they are around. Like, yeah. They don't come home to an empty house. And, like, I imagine a lot of business owners, parents are sort of flat Absolutely. Out 24/7 yeah. and busy. So, and especially with our daughter. So she plays professional football. So that means that she needs to be all over the country.
Remind us who she plays for?
So she now plays for Southampton. She has played for Arsenal as well. And I don't know
how do you fit that travelling?
Well, it's all on dad, really. It's all on Tom. It's Southampton is 3 times a week
wow.
to train and then a Saturday match. But she also plays for County. So we have to be in Southampton from 4 till 9, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And has that ever put stresses on you where you've thought maybe I need to sort of tone the business down or step away or?
No, but I am learning to drive, so I have not got a license. So when she was at Arsenal, I used to get a taxi to St Albans.
Wow.
3 times a week.
That's a long way.
It was a long way.
We made no money that year.
We made no money that year.
Break even.
But a lot of friends in taxi companies. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's sort of been...
It's easy the rest of the year, so it's just like figuring out those 2 months where it's just, you know, crazy busy.
And is it still those 2 months that are 90% of your work?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and
it's just the preparation time outside of that of products and, you know, ordering, designing new stuff and, and any sort of, like, social media jobs that we get beforehand to, you know, do work for people's Christmas campaigns and stuff like that. So.
Very nice.
Unfortunately, though, our busy time is peak football season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy.
And then we've got a son, but he wants to become a chef, so he loves cooking dinners and...
We have some connections to help him out.
He has been to Jamie Oliver's cooking school.
There we
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
It's got to be done.
So our kids are quite funny because I'll come home and I'll be like, oh my God, Ray, guess where we've just been? And it just goes straight over their heads. But we did get asked to do Jill Scott's box-to-box coffee shop during the World Cup, Women's World Cup. She was a bit impressed then. And then Isaac, obviously, the fact that we worked with Jamie Oliver, yeah, he was very happy with that one.
Amazing.
But most other people, he's like, who's that? I don't know. Oh, and one time we were on the Chris Moyles show and Babatunde was waiting in the green room and I said, oh, will you do a message for my kids? Because they'd just watched I'm a Celebrity.
Yeah.
So they were very impressed by Babatunde. But most people, they're like, no, I don't know who that is.
Amazing. But what's kind of been... maybe one of the highlight things that have been really difficult as a business, like one of the hardest things about kind of turning something so creative into a business?
I guess Tom is talented enough that it's not really been that hard. When we first started, I think the most difficult thing was being away from the kids and working so hard. And also, as a mother, doing the Christmas shopping. So we always host Christmas. So last year we had 23 people here and I think Tom's last job was on the 20th of December. So he was still spraying, and I obviously oversee most other bits of the business. So I was still working Christmas Eve, like responding to emails or doing an interview or something like that. So I guess managing normal family life at an important time of year to everyone has been one of the most difficult things. You know, like when our peak season starts, which is normally around end of October, I get up at about 5 and I will work till 10, 11, and Tom will be exactly the same. And that's 7 days a week during that 8 week period.
And then what do you do outside of that period?
Sleep.
In downtime. Oh. No, not in that day. In the year.
The rest of the year, really, that is our most commonly asked question. What do you do the rest of the year? Everyone thinks we're in the Bahamas sunning ourselves because we've just made a fortune over Christmas. Well, firstly, that cash flow has to last all year.
Yeah.
So those 8 weeks may look lucrative, but they have to last and pay for taxis. and that doesn't just happen overnight.
No.
So by September, we are normally sort of max capacity as far as our bookings go. And bookings are not entirely straightforward because some people have design requirements.
Yeah.
Some people need to get it approved from other departments. Other people don't have any idea but want a concept design to be approved by now. So it's all different kinds of things. So it's not just straightforward, oh, could you come and do my window? Let's book it in. We're working Geneva, Madrid, a castle in Ireland, and Brussels. That was the other one I was trying to think of earlier. We've had inquiries from Dubai, so that may well pull off.
That'd be good.
It'd be nice and warm at this time of year. The whole planning and organisation, and I guess you guys know from running businesses yourselves, you've still got to do the accounts, you've still got to do your tax returns, you still have to work out what your strategy is going to be the following year, and that's not a day's work.
No.
So, yeah, I guess we just sort of plan and schedule really what's going to happen and book jobs in. And we do get an awful lot now of people that want Tom to create a campaign for their social media.
Okay.
So that's quite good. Disney was that.
Yeah.
So we were doing that Disney work during September.
And that's something that you...
That's like, well, yes!
You
because
can add to
you
it.
Know you can fulfill yeah. it. Whereas if Disney had come back and said, right, this needs to be live, it needs to be, I don't know, 31st of November, that would be hard because every single day. And that's it when people ring up and they say, oh, yeah, I really want it done in November. We'll come in over the weekend and we're like, we're already fully booked up for the weekends and evenings. You know, it is just, I think physically that's very hard for both of us.
And with that, you obviously mentioned the social content that you created for Disney, et cetera. Like, is that now the next step in the growth of your business? Sort of
yes.
working through the
yes.
spring and summer months?
Yeah, because we were sort of thinking, how can we regulate this cash flow? How can we sort of spread it out the rest of the year? And, you know, there is only one Tom.
You don't want to dilute it, though. And I've never wanted to...
Been the tricky
people like,
thing.
Can you do an Easter window? I don't really want to, because I think that's the beauty about the snow spray out is that it hits at one point.
It needs
the year.
To be Christmas themed,
yeah, and
festive.
And it does its best thing then, but it's also people like wait for it for the year, and then it comes and then it disappears again. You know, so it's never permanent art, which is kind of a cool thing.
I think you could have a huge client base just based on just Christmas and not have to dilute the art, but get out to more people via different methods.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really, that's sort of the direction that we want to go in. And we still want to be the number one company but the go-to company. If you want a really classy, amazing piece of art on your window, you're going to come to Snow Windows. And that's where Tom sort of said, you know, we didn't want to dilute it. We looked at coloured spray, but I quite like black and white anyway. I think that's classy, but we do Halloween windows. So we're like, oh, coloured spray would be quite good for Halloween windows, like an orange pumpkin and stuff like that. But our snow spray manufacturers wanted a minimum run of, like, I think it was it about 500,000 or 50,000? 50,000 cans of orange snow spray. And we were like,
that's,
is this
going to
be a situation where we're stuck with a house full of orange snow spray? So, yeah, we haven't done that one as yet, but if we can, we will. But
that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
Yeah, and Tom likes Halloween, you know, because there's that sort of absolute contrast from the beauty and the...
Yeah.
Love in Christmas to the dark side of Halloween. Like, I had Michael Myers on my front window with, like, a knife in his hand for days, and I was like, oh, my gosh, Tom, this is going to scare people.
Very cool.
I can send you a picture of it. It genuinely was scary. But
Tom, with the scenes, like the one that you're doing at the moment,
yeah,
is there any kind of real... Do you kind of think about stuff in advance, like with the one today as well, or are you just kind of winging it? And
yeah, winging it, 100%. Yeah, yeah. No, I was just trying to mix it with your logo and just with the angles, and then I'll just start in one place and then just keep going.
Fair play. I mean, it looks unreal. Do you kind of do that for most clients, or do you, is there something maybe sometimes you plan for?
Yeah, I mean, if it depends on the customer, if they specify that they want a bit of a chat about what's coming next and what they want, but generally I'd say 80-90% of the time I'll just turn up and do it. If they'll be like, oh, can I have a winter scene or a Grinch or something, depends. Yeah,
can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how it works?
Well, this is what I would just consider a classic winter scene with the sort of old style houses, little river, mountains, trees, just that classic vintage style. It's the cool thing about what I do is the sort of the shadows and the depth of creating, something in the foreground, and then it just gets further and further away, which just kind of makes you sort of step into it,
Like the tree in the middle where the windows on that kind of second house that you've done. Yeah, the detail in the windows is just crazy. Like, because it actually looks like a, you could see into the living room almost. And the detail in the tree as well is just...
Yeah, it's the simplest stuff actually that is usually the most effective with it. Just doing the trees and the little windows and, you just like just chuck a little person in there, looking out the window, and then suddenly something's going on in
there.
What's going on in that house?
There we are.
It has snuck a few rude things in some windows before now.
Yeah. Even better.
In a hair salon that we regularly do, the guy that runs it, he was like, oh, put something tongue-in-cheek in there, Tom. Put something funny in there.
So why do you think this connects with so many people?
I think it's that nostalgic element to it with Christmas. I think... You get older and that magic disappears, and then anything that you can just attack, it just gives a feeling to people. I think they just see the black and white. To me, it's like Charles Dickens, Christmas Carol, or It's a Wonderful Life in black and white, So I think it just conjures up that kind of emotion with people.
Mm. In terms of, like, obviously social media has been massive for you guys as well. What's kind of been... how important has that been for growing the business?
I wish I could sit here and say that we were social media experts. No. We have been very, very fortunate in the fact that the content that we've created has been of interest to people. I remember the first bit of social media content that came out was actually by BBC News, and they'd gone down to a local hospital where Tom was spraying the windows of a children's ward. It was like a children's play area. And we regularly do charity work. That was one of our charity work. And the BBC came down, just a local BBC South Today, I think it was. What is it called? BBC South now or something, anyway. And did an interview. And then they posted it online. And that was the first one. Tom and I were out at a local restaurant having dinner. And I was going... looking at my phone, because we're a bit more modern now, and we had them on our phones. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's like 800,000 views of this video. And then I guess Tom would always do a time lapse of his creations and we'd post it up. There was one, and actually Tom wrote the music for it, because he's also in
Okay, cool.
Musician as well.
Very talented.
Yeah. So he'd written the pardon?
He hasn't heard the music.
Oh, well, there is that, yeah. He'd also written this piece of music, and that was weirdly the first post we ever had that went to a million. And we were like, oh, wow. And it was also like a big double whammy because it got his music out there at the same time. And then now we get some that will go up to like 16 million views. And we were telling you guys earlier, Tom created a video, accidentally sped up his voice, and then decided to have a bit of fun with it. And they go crazy. They're like these crazy little tutorials. What is it you say, babe? Someone, a little spray. So now we have like our followers that if I put a video up without any kind of voiceover on, they're like, where's the little spray? I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, like, we should get t-shirts made. Yeah, like catchphrases that have taken off because of Tom's silly voice man that he does. Yeah, so social media has been huge, absolutely vital to our progress, and I wish there were more people that knew what they were doing with social media that could help us.
And do you manage it all yourself?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that going to be planned long term, or are you going to be looking to expand that area?
We would love someone to come on board that actually knew what they were doing with it, and like, where would it get to then? Like, people ring me, they're like, oh, you really must know your social media and like how to do stuff because your videos have like 300 million views. And I'm like, I have no idea. I just press post.
I guess it's authentic content though at the same time. Like, some people try so hard to make content that doesn't resonate. You're just doing what you do and putting it out there.
And it's me or Tom that respond to all the comments.
Which is nice. People want to buy from people they know or feel that they know.
Yeah. Tom sometimes tells me off because he's like, I think they think they're talking to me when it's you. And I'm like, oh, sorry. So now I have to put Kerry on there. So, So I wish I could give you insight into how to make a video go viral, but I don't know. I guess it's the right time of year, the right type of content.
Any posts that have flopped, you've got some hate on or anything like that?
Oh, hate. Yeah, I think like coming out of the season, if I start posting something,
people are like, it's not Christmas.
The hate is just bloody Christmas.
But nothing else.
Nothing I generally post is Christmas in that period. It might be winter, but yeah, it's no. I do the odd stupid thing and people Kerry sort of sways me from doing anything too risque, but I'm a little...
He's terrible.
I could be a lot more controversial.
He would be a lot more controversial, but I'm like, do not do that.
The thing is, that's the easiest way to go viral is by...
Don't say that to him.
No, but I think that's the thing about the Snow Windows brand, his family. Yeah. It's all about that, and there's a time and a place for me to do my other stuff.
On another Instagram page or Facebook page, not ours, because, he's like, I don't know, I guess with any artist, they're going to like doing the twee stuff, the pretty stuff, but Tom is also into doing controversial stuff as well. So I'm like, just keep that away from Snow Windows.
Well, it's been kind of one of sort of the most fun moments about running the business.
It's like the scary bits are they're like the worst and the best. Like, I mean, I absolutely, like doing radio and TV and stuff,
he hated it.
I'm really bad at it. So, and it's just not a nice experience. But then when it's done, it's an amazing experience. And, you know, I can't believe, like, going...
This morning that was nuts.
They wanted both of us, and then they wanted just me. And I had a Zoom with them, and I was just like, under no circumstances am I doing this by myself. Like, Kerry's, like, way better talker than me, and I'm like, I'm the doer, she's the talker, and that works for us. And I was like, you're not going to get a good situation if you just have me on that TV show. Trust me, get Kerry in as well.
Plus, I guess, if he's creating a scene like he is now, if you kept stopping him, it would take forever. the fun stuff. The amazing thing is, like, the good that we can do. And I'm not just saying that to be cliche. Like, we teamed up with Crisis 2 years ago, Crisis at Christmas. Mm-hmm. That was amazing that we could help people. We also do still to this day a lot of charity windows for children that are poorly. And yeah, so that's really nice,
yeah,
that we're in a position whereby we can make people's Christmases magical or different by what we do, because really we're just spraying snow on windows. But oh, did you hear my tummy rumble then? Sorry. Did you hear that? Yeah.
I felt it.
I should have had breakfast. So they're the ones where we're like, wow, we made a difference to someone's life. That's, you know, because we are still just Tom and Kerry living our lives as parents and not mega rich or mega powerful in any way where we could sort of change lives dramatically. So, but that's nice. We like doing that. The fun stuff. I always say this story, actually, that my daughter came to me and she said to me, Mum, I want to be a footballer and a hairdresser. And I was like, oh, you want to cut footballers' hair? She went, nope, I want to play football and also be a hairdresser. I was like, Ray, I don't think you could do both. And she must have been 8 or 9. She looks at me and she was like, Mum, Dad sprays snow on windows at Christmas. I can be a footballer and a hairdresser if I want to be. And I was like, there's nothing I can say back to that. If your dad can make a career out of snow spray, then yeah, you can. And it was a year later that she signed to Arsenal. And that, I guess, is one of the most empowering moments of my life, whereby we've influenced our children into that self-belief. I can do something that I really, really want to do, even though it sounds like the impossible.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's that sort of definite highlight of mine. Other fun stuff that we've done.
What's the worst thing that's happened? Biggest fail, biggest drop to clanger?
I would say a worst financial situation was last year. We invested and got 12,000 stencils made and shipped to Amazon US. And we sold 400.
Oh, and why do you think it flopped so badly?
We
didn't really know the market.
We didn't know the market. Well, we based it on our UK market. Okay.
Yeah, it was based on the numbers. I mean, we got greedy. We saw pound signs and just thought, well, it did well on Amazon UK. Let's go for
there's
the
US. There's the X amount of people in the US. Yeah, let's work out.
It's such a bigger market. Right, okay. We should be able to make, even if, you know, we don't do amazing, we should still do all right kind of thing. So, but it just, you know, it's been a really painful experience for us. To
and financially.
For, yeah, it's actually ended up costing awful. Us more because of it. But, so, you, yeah.
So then there was like, we shipped it out. We spent any profit we made on Amazon UK,
mm-hmm,
advertising in Amazon, yeah, US. There's a lot that you can't preempt. Like with Amazon, you pay for keywords, AdWords. You never know how much they're going to cost because they go up depending on demand and they cost a fortune. And then we thought, well, that's all right. Then, you know, the stencils, they're not going to go out of date. We can just sell them next year. The one thing we didn't... That was a massive belly rumble, sorry. The one thing we didn't equate for was aged inventory stock charges.
From Amazon?
From Amazon.
Right, for leaving it there too long and...
Yes, so after a year, we were...
month after month.
Over $1,000 we were paying for these stencils that are $25, so... Yeah, it was... And then we were like, okay... Let's just cut our losses, Amazon US and all like the tax implications and everything like that. Like we'll just get the stock out of Amazon and we'll bring it back. But you have to pay Amazon to get your stock out.
Right. Okay.
So then we had to pay them dollars per unit, not even per space. And then of course now we've got to pay the shipping fees to get them back. So I would say that was the bravest decision, but the worst decision. It could have gone the other way, right? We could have been sat here saying, oh, we made $100,000 out of that. And I think that's the scary part about being a business owner. When you're starting something newish, you don't know whether it's going to work.
No, for sure. What would you do next time?
Not send stuff to
them. I think the thing is, you're hoping for that one moment where it just goes your way. And I think as you go along and you make mistakes and you do things right, you realise there isn't a golden moment that's just going to go your way. You have to make those moments happen. And so it's just, you just can't have that blind belief, oh, let's chuck some money at that and it will come back tenfold. You know, it never happens. So you kind of, every time we fail in those areas, you realise, right, okay, we've just got to go slow. Because I think when you try to rush and try to become too successful too quickly, you just fail immediately and you just keep going around in circles. So I think that's what we need to do is just, with the American market.
Regroup.
Just chucked 500 units there and saw what happened. And,
I don't even want to say that I was the one that said we shouldn't send as many, but we're not going to go there. Because that's going to be your next question. Do you have any domestics? Yes.
But all of that, in terms of the risk, if you don't take risks like that, you're never going to succeed. You have just got to kind of manage those risks.
No, I mean, if we were sat down with you guys 20 years ago and you said, oh, how about Tom get a can of snow spray and you make a business out of it? Yeah. We would have gone, well, that'd never work.
Exactly, yeah.
So you,
do you find it's easier to find the big ticket clients versus the running of an online retail?
Yes. I have, I don't even know whether it's an ability, but it's probably sheer determination, whereby I will say, I want that client and I will get that client. And I don't know how, but I will know someone that will know someone that will, and I will just persist until there's one client I haven't got and I have persisted with her. And that is Stacey Solomon. I want Stacey Solomon because she's our sort of perfect clientele. She's a mama and likes doing crafty bits and pieces. But most of the other ones, like I said, I wanted Harvey Nichols. We got Harvey Nichols. Disney was up there. Chris Moyles. I don't know whether were we recording when Tom said.
Yeah, I think so.
When I said, oh, he's going to be the savior of snow windows because he's known as the savior of radio. So I find that much easier than I do working out how to sell our stencils and get them stocked in places.
Well, look, Stacey Solomon might come to you now for Christmas, so who knows?
We did feature in our Tap to Tidy book.
Wow.
So
getting closer.
You know who, a recent guest that we've had on the podcast as well, he does the pool for Stacey Solomon.
Oh, the pool cleaner.
The pool guy.
Right, so my daughter is TikTok crazy. The amount of times I have seen that pool cleaner, she has this obsession, watching cars get cleaned, watching pools get cleaned.
Yeah. We had him on last week. So.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. So,
oh, my God, he's like a celebrity. That'll be something my daughter will be impressed by. Dad's at Royalty's house. Yeah, I don't care. But do you know what? The podcast people, they had the pool cleaner on that. No.
He mentioned her, so maybe there's a
I always meet someone that knows someone.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, the episode will be out by then, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. And if it is, right, I'm going to get Stacey to say something.
To tag her.
Go there to say, this is all because of getting done.
That's it. That's what it's about.
Special. It is networking. I love networking.
Here we are. Who knows? Let's see. So, tell us then, you've got an art course, snow art course.
Right, that is all Tom.
In the infancy, Tom, tell us a little bit about it.
That is all Tom. I might as well put the microphone down.
It's been 2 years since I did it. I actually took a course on how to do a course 3 years ago. It took me a year to get the courage to film myself. That's really weird. Mm-hmm. That even just filming myself on camera and recording it and then editing it and doing all that stuff, it was a struggle. So, it took me a year to really actually sort it out. But, it's another business in itself, which is a struggle when you've already got a business and you start doing that. And there's, I've got a community online of the sprayers. So it's sort of an ongoing thing, and I'm trying to sort of make it better. And
but that was it, wasn't it? You were like, so many people are doing it now, and you'd get frustrated that they weren't doing it right, and it was that sort of, if you can't beat them, teach them.
Yeah, people were, there were a lot of people doing it, and a lot of people were starting to post and making money from doing snow spray art. So I just thought, well, yeah, why not teach them? Because I think I was very precious for a really long time about it's my thing, I invented it, so no one else should ever do it. Like, and then lots of people started doing it, and I didn't quite know how to handle that. And then I was fine with it, and I was like, oh, I'll show people how to do it, actually.
Why it's quite nice, people? Someone doing something you invented. And
once I got my head around that, it's a compliment, but it wasn't nice to begin with. I can honestly say, yeah, I didn't like it, but now I do. I think it's really cool. I've created some sort of an actual art form that people do.
Which is looking excellent so far.
Thank you. I thought I'd chuck a Santa in there.
So would you, obviously, you know, you've got students under the course, obviously, but would you ever kind of, you know, employ one of them to join you and start working and expand the business that way?
Over the last couple of years, I've got a guy, Paul, who's an awesome sprayer from Liverpool. And we sort of met, he just started buying our snow spray quite a few years ago now.
Yeah.
And we just noticed, because he was ordering so much, and we didn't even know that he was a sprayer, but we kind of guessed by the amount of spray he was ordering from us, and then sort of got in contact with him. And we kind of joined forces. He came down for the last couple of years and helped out with me. He's got loads of jobs up there, so he sort of spends a couple of weeks with me and then goes back. I think it is, and that's been a really slow process of the trust of...
Yeah.
To navigate that with people, and I wanted to expand and I wanted to get more and more people involved, but it's one of those things I really have to get my head around.
When you are the brand and the product, having someone else come and do it, if they make a mistake, that's on you.
It's not just that though, is it? Like, they're going in people's houses.
It's not the mistake. Very... That's the thing, it's how you deal with all of that. It's
how they represent
everyone
you.
Makes mistakes, yeah. But exactly. It's just how you deal with everything. And it's just hard to manage.
My tummy.
Yeah.
What's it like, obviously, working together? You know, obviously, you know, you work together, you live together. What's that like?
It's a journey. It's a journey.
Yeah.
When it's great, it's lovely because we share the celebration in that.
Yeah.
You know, when we're not doing well for a big fat cat somewhere else, we're doing well for each other and we celebrate those wins together. When it's tough, mm-hmm. It's tough.
There's nowhere else to go.
There's nowhere else to go.
Got to deal with it till it's over.
But like I'm more of a safety girl. Tom is more sort of a bit risque. So we do sometimes clash with those ideas. I think fundamentally it's very hard, but it's also very good because we're working to build a better future for us.
And that's what it's about.
Yeah.
So what does Christmas look like in your house? Do you still decorate your own window?
Yeah.
I think I'd probably just leave the last thing that I did up. As far as if I was making a video, I'll do usually something. When the kids were younger, they wanted something.
They'd bigger like, and bigger every year.
I mean, it was like, I'd always do it Christmas Eve, because I'd be like, I'll get around to it, and then they're like, they wanted it for Christmas morning. I remember one year, it was like, Isaac wanted a dinosaur. And Ray wanted a Millennium Falcon. So it was like, it wasn't classic Christmas.
No.
It was like something bizarre that I'd never done before. So I was like, there, so like midnight.
Too nice and easy.
Oh, the best one Tom did on our house. Now, it's quite funny at the time, right? So we had this neighbour that lived opposite, and she was like not the nicest of neighbours, and she used to look out the window at us all the time, like coming and going, walking the kids to school and whatever. She was a real nosy neighbour and not very pleasant. And this one Christmas, he decided to create on our window replicas of every house we'd ever lived in. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. every house we'd ever lived in. I need something to eat. Oh, no, it's fine. It is 1 o'clock now, isn't it? So that's why. So our childhood homes, our grandparents' homes, and the homes we'd lived in together, plus the home we were currently living in. So it was like a street.
Okay.
But the home we were currently living in, he drew a picture of the nosy neighbour looking out of our window on our window. And I was like, oh no, you've put her house in there. She's definitely going to notice because in the window, like in that one where he's got someone looking out the window, yeah. He does a replica of her house with her looking out the window. I was like, oh, that's great. Brilliant. We're in so much trouble now. She never came over and said anything though, did she?
She never ever did anyway.
Now, did she get cross about the Halloween windows or something and said it was some kind of satanic... Some people
are just not going to be happy regardless of what they do. So,
she got the council on us for running a business from our home. But it was like in that, in the respect of like if you had like a hair salon in the back of your house kind of thing, and you're not, you know, you have a certain amount of workers and stuff. She was just like, there's vans coming every day.
I don't even drive, so there's not even my car.
your tools are in your hand right now.
Yeah.
You can do it in your pocket.
The councilman knocked on the door and he was like, I've been told you've got a team of staff working in a back office. And I was like, come in, please, come in now and look. And he was like, the fact that you're asking me, I know that there is. And I was like, no, please come in. Seriously, there's a dining room table and I work on it.
Factory.
So I guess that was one of the challenges that year when she was grumbling about that. But we don't live there anymore, so it's fine.
Have you guys got a favourite sort of festive memory of whether it's been, I don't know, a specific window or whether it's been a client or a job, you know, anything that really stands out?
Chris Moyles is always our favourite, isn't it? We always tend to go up the night before we go on the show.
Let me just...
It's blue sky and sunny in this Christmas.
There we are.
Footage.
That's all right.
Yeah, Chris Moyles is always our favourite because we go up to London, we stay up in London the night before, and that's normally around like the first week of December. So we've seen very little of each other for the past four or five weeks.
Yeah.
So we go up, we go out to dinner, and then we're up by five and on the show. But he's always loads of fun and like more like a friend now than anything. So.
That's really nice.
I loved the Harvey Nichols one just because I had nothing. And everyone, and you just think about the amount of money people were spending on their windows. And I kept having people that were doing the other windows coming up and looking at what I was doing and going, well, you're the talk of the shop tonight. And it was just like they just never seen it. And that was sort of like validating for me that what I was doing was
working.
That it was of the level of Harvey Nichols, because I was like, should I be here? You know. People were impressed to do it as a job throughout the year. I was like, okay, yeah,
What about that one? Oh, there's this one story that. So this was when we first started. There was this person that contacted me and said I would like Tom to come and do a window, and it was just something about it. It was like she wasn't giving me all this information, and it wasn't Teddy. It wasn't enough, doggy. So she sort of contacted and said, it's not for me, but I'd like to pay for the window, and I will meet you outside this address. And I'd said to Tom, something's not quite right here. Just be careful. Make sure you're safe. Like that was just sitting in the back of my mind. Anyway, he came back from doing the window at about 12:45. And I couldn't get to sleep. And I came downstairs and I was like, was it all right? And he was like, I'm like, are you okay? Did anything really bad happen? And he said, basically, the woman that reached out to me was the daughter of her mum. The window was for her mum. Her mum had terminal cancer and couldn't get down the stairs. So she'd booked Tom to come and give her a beautiful view in her bedroom. And Tom said she was the loveliest lady. She spoke to him the whole time he was doing the window. And she said to him, "Do you know what, Tom? The last thing I see before I pass through to the other side will be your beautiful artwork." And Tom's like, got totally emotional. And then, like, he's said goodbye to her. And then the lady tried to give him money. The daughters tried to pay Tom for the job. And Tom was like, "No, I don't want your money." And she said, "This is why I didn't tell you the whole story. You know, you're giving us a service. I don't want you to not charge for the service. You've done an amazing job." And Tom said, "No, I really don't want the money." And he'd been chatting about our two young children. And she said, "Fine, then."
She literally wouldn't let me out of the house. It was locked.
Yeah.
"You're taking the money." I was like...
So she said, "Please buy your children a present from my mum. I don't know whether she's still going to be here at Christmas. And, you know, would you do that?" And Tom said, "Okay, fine." So we did that. We bought the kids a present. And she did pass away, the lady. And we were then doing an interview with the Daily Mail. And we'd gone to a reporter's house for Tom to do exactly this. And she said, "Your art is very..." I'm trying to remember the word. "Ethereal?" Something. She was like, "It's like sort of from another world. Has there ever been an experience?" And I told her about that one. And I said how amazing it was that we did that for that lady and that she really appreciated it. And it must have been about 3 days after that article came out, I received an email, and it was of a text message that had come through, and it said, "Your mum's memory lives on." And the dad had read the article in the Daily Mail of us talking about the lady that passed away and sent it to his daughter. And I think that, like, I even get emotional talking about it. Like, that's just insane that our business had created sort of that woman's memory and changed the lives of those people by Tom spraying snow on a window. That was, I don't even know why I went on that tangent. No, I can't remember what we said.
It's a good story. It's really
story. Yeah, that was super emotional, that one.
Maybe.
But, yep, next one.
On a little bit of a sort of cheerier note. But if you could design, like, the ultimate Christmas window mural, what would go into it? What route would you go down?
For any client, like...
just said carte blanche.
Really annoying because, I started with the whole villagey classic Christmas scenes, and I've done all of the kind of cheesy, grinchy kind of stuff, and I think I would just like to do... It always comes back to sort of Dickensian stuff. I just love that kind of scenery, and I just love to do in London a massive window that just runs and sort of spans, involving the Thames, St Paul's, like every sort of London, building, and just like epic, detailed. I think that's because the business is so, structured. I've got this amount of time to do this size window, and it's this that you want. I don't have the luxury to just spend a really long time, like, putting all of the detail in that I'd like to do. Because I could just spend days at a window if I...
But it wouldn't make commercial sense to do that.
No, it wouldn't, no. But and the thing is, some days I'm like, if I have the time and it's just the right place, the right time and the right design, I might just spend a little bit longer just for my own fun, but that's it. Yeah, just the traditional stuff I love.
Amazing. Is there kind of, maybe to round everything off, is there anything that, if there's somebody out there that's listening that wants to kind of, that has a passion or like a talent to create something like this, how, is there anything, maybe a specific piece of advice of how you would sort of tell them to start their own business?
I would say, from an artistic point of view, stop questioning yourself whether you're good enough. Just do it. Just keep going. Like, don't have that argument with yourself. You just waste so much of your life just telling yourself that you're not good enough, or asking yourself if you are good enough. If you just get up and work towards it every day, you're going to be good enough at the end of it,
I don't know. I guess what I would say about running a business is never be afraid to ask for help, which kind of goes against what Tom's saying there. But I remember when Snow Windows first started, you start a business because you're passionate about something.
Yeah.
And that something doesn't tend to be accounting unless you're starting an accounting business, or marketing unless you're starting a marketing business. And for me, Snow Windows was my baby, and it's very hard to trust other people that they're going to give it the same time and attention and love as what you would. But actually, you can't do all those things successfully. No. And you do need to have that confidence to say, do you know what? I recognise I'm not an accountant. I'm going to get an accountant, and they're going to know more than I do about that. Yeah, I found that was, never be afraid to sort of say, this is not my area of expertise. Can you help me?
No, exactly.
I think it's more essential, actually, that you outsource things. You just can't be good at everything. And that's where we've fallen short with our business and our growth, because we've tried, we've got to do it. We've got to put the effort in. You know, we're just not trying hard enough. But it's like, there are people out there that are just, they're on another level
in
that area, and you've just got to trust that.
The other thing I will say is to always value your time.
Mm-hmm.
Put a value on your time, because I would be like, I can do the accounts, but that might take me 5 days, whereas it might take an accountant an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not putting any value on the bits that I'm really good at and what I could be doing if I wasn't sat there trying to get my head around the accounts.
No one's actually like self-made. It's about the people that they bring in around them to help them or buy from them or introduce them to people. I think that's super important. And also focusing on the 20% that you're good at, where you can actually push and add value and delegate the rest.
Yeah.
Me and Will had the conversation recently about trying to value how much you're worth, kind of, you know, on an hourly or daily rate, and then being able to almost think about if you were to outsource a certain part of your work life to somebody else, how much would you be able to make on top of that?
Doing what you're good at.
Exactly. And it's an important thing to try and work out.
But I guess when you're a startup, you don't have that expendable cash. Yeah.
I think this is what I did. We got a whiteboard up. We wrote down everything I do currently. And then what it would cost me to pay someone to do that per hour.
Yeah.
And then what you'd work out is there were four or five, not even that, two or three tasks that I would do where it would be incredibly expensive to pay for someone to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm good at it.
Yeah.
And then there would be things that are like £20 an hour that I don't like doing and I'm not very good at.
Yeah.
And it was, right, delete 7 of the 10 things that you do and delegate that, and then double up on what you do, which is high income skill.
Yeah.
And when you look at that, it makes you really look. People love saying they're busy. In the UK, we love saying we're busy. When you ask someone what they do, they say their job.
Yeah.
When actually it should be like time freedom is real success.
Yeah.
And you guys having, you know, 4 or 5 months of the year where you can sort of step back and spend a bit of time with the family is super, like, super nice.
Yeah. And like, obviously Tom's musician and an artist outside of this, so that buys him time. And when it gets really hard and we're sort of just hitting December and physically, mentally exhausted, you think, oh, but it's going to be January soon, and then we can both do all the things that we enjoy doing. Not that we don't enjoy the business, but the things that the business allows us time for. So like Tom will get back into his music and recording and stuff like that. Then whereas if you had a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job, you wouldn't have the time.
Well, look, thank you very much for coming on. I mean, this is the finished article. It looks unbelievable. So
if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Music or anything like that, make sure you go over to YouTube or over on our Instagram to see what it actually looks like, because obviously you're not going to see it on there. But yeah, that is
the depth is crazy. Yeah.
We'll get some close-up shots afterwards as well that you can really see the detail. Like even like this is like the most detailed bit, I think, on the right-hand side with the lamppost and the sort of the detail in the wood or brick. It looks unbelievable, like the amount of detail. That's
the simplest, quickest parts of it.
Yeah, the lamppost and the trees are the easiest bits.
Well, yeah, Tom and Kerry, thank you very much. It's been class.
Thank you very much
for having us.
You're very welcome.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.